long weekends. Our teachers get a little break. It's good to see you here this morning. I don't know if you, do you come to church with an expectation? I mean, maybe you come with expectations of me or music team or someone else. Do you come with an expectation that God will actually show up? Do we really believe that? Are we starting to believe what society tells us? God isn't as powerful as we say he is, or he's imaginary, or something else. I'll tell you, this morning, this week, I really need God to show up. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, lots of life is a challenge. It's completely broken since Genesis 3. And there's times where we feel that, we experience it more up close and personal than other times. And yet it doesn't change you at all. What an amazing God you are. We've just been singing about you. You're there at creation. You come to demonstrate your love for us. Come as a suffering servant. You are more than we can imagine, and yet we can understand what you have done for us. Would you meet us here powerfully this morning? We need to hear from you, Jesus. I pray this in your powerful name. Amen. We're growing to be the church, or we hope we are. I trust we are. And this morning's message called Love Unsearchable. We've been talking about love here since the new year. A love of God is beyond our comprehension, and yet we can experience it. Right? It's like a love between a husband and a wife. Some of it you can define and put into words. Much of it you just got to experience. Paul's writing Ephesians 3 here. Going to look at verses 7 to 13 this morning. This doesn't even get into expounding on his desire that people grow in the love yet, but it introduces a love unsearchable this morning. Ephesians 3, verses 7 to 13. It's already on the screen, but if you have it, turn to it. Maybe underline some words. I did. Because I can't speak on the whole of every passage every week, so I just got to pick some of it. Of this gospel, he's been talking about it for quite a while now. Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power to me, though I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given for a reason. He says, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. You go to your morning reading or whenever you read the scriptures, do you realize we can learn more? We can be walking with Christ for 2,000 years and we got more to learn about him. I know nobody here is quite 2,000 years old. Some of you are getting pretty close though. But even in heaven, we'll be continually learning and growing and more unsearchable riches of Christ. But Paul's going to preach it to the Gentiles. He's only got a limited time frame to do it. And, here's the second reason, and to bring light for everyone. What is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things? We were just singing that in the song. And so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Just a few key pieces here we need to look at. This incredible thing, gospel, he's made Paul a minister of. according to the gift of God's grace, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he's commanded him, go and preach, and to bring light to everyone. What is the plan of the mystery? He's been unfolding this mystery. He says it right in the beginning. Of this gospel, I was made a minister. So that the church, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Do you realize that if you understand who Jesus is, you're a possessor of an incredible treasure. Manifold wisdom of God. Right? We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We can't recognize who Jesus is, nor what he's done for us, apart from the Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. And it's remained a mystery. He's unfolding this incredible salvation story throughout the God's Word here. To preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. To bring to light to everyone, for everyone, this plan, this mystery, this gospel, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Not to keep it to ourselves. And these three fit together. Our confession of faith affirms all of this. I want to read some of it this morning. In regard to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, we believe the good news of God's salvation in Jesus Christ is for the people we like and we get along with easily. No, our confession doesn't say that because Scripture doesn't say that. It says for all people, just like this passage, to bring to light for everyone. Christ commands the church to make disciples of all nations by calling people to repent and by baptizing and teaching them to obey Jesus. Jesus teaches that disciples are to love God and neighbor by telling the good news and by performing acts of love and compassion. We usually only want to do one or the other of those. It's a both and it always has been. In regard to the witness that we are, our confession says the Holy Spirit empowers every Christian. If you're in relationship with Jesus Christ, that includes you. Every Christian to witness to God's salvation. This glorious gospel, this mystery Paul's been unpacking. The church as a body witnesses to God's reign in the world by its life as a redeemed and separated community. The church reveals God's saving purposes to the world. So we grow to be the church. We possess this love unsearchable, and it's ours to introduce other people to. Sharing the gospel is not optional for Christians, for believers. It's not optional, but foundational for who and what the church is called to be and to do. Mark 16:15, short version, the great commandment. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Don't separate it out, not just those easy parts, the whole of creation. And why? Because God understands it's our point of greatest need. Right relationship with Jesus. And the rest of life flows out of this. What shall it profit a man or a person if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Only get the world for a time. And even that will not satisfy, right? We all are in relationship with people, pursuing this, pursuing that, right? Guy or a girl gives his body away to someone, hoping it will meet a need in their life. And it does for a short while, but then it doesn't. It doesn't matter what we're pursuing apart from Christ. It doesn't really add up it will not find it fulfilling if it's apart from Christ. Of all the things we do, we cannot neglect explaining the mystery that is being revealed, the unsearchable riches, this unsearchable love of Christ, the gospel. Of all the other priorities and responsibilities and things we want to do, this is key to who the church is. And since Satan cannot destroy the gospel, he has too often neutralized its usefulness by addition, subtraction, or substitution. We see lots of teachers in our day. Some of them have big followings and TV shows and whatever else, but they're teaching a portion of it. They're missing out part of the gospel. We should be careful and discerning about who we're listening to and who we're reading, because there is a lot of false gospels, just like Scripture said there would be. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the brightest light and the only hope for this darkened world. Church, do we really believe that? Or like some, do we think, well, if we can just get the right government in place, the right leadership structure, things will be all right. If we can just do this or do that. Or we don't believe in a social gospel. It's a problem of the heart. Jesus comes for the whole of the person, not just a part of it. I love Compassion International because they're so gospel Jesus focused. Streets Alive. Some of us are going to do the coldest night of the year walk. I know the youth, our girls club, others have a relationship there. I love some of these ministries because they're not just serving people on the street or over somewhere else with food and water. They do that as well. But they recognize their core need is to be in right relationship with Jesus. And then He starts to rebuild their lives. He brings the transformation. And we sometimes just want a little bit of right information and a little bit of adjustment and make it on our own. This is key to who the church is, the proclamation of the gospel. He's the hope of the nations. Right? We sing about Him. We call Him these names. Sometimes we pray this. But do we really believe it to the point where we're acting on it? So He's been unpacking what this gospel is, but let's look specifically. What is the gospel? Well, I want to go through it in a few different ways, briefly here this morning. We need to find a way that works for us. If we are clear on the essentials of the gospel, so we can explain it. We can proclaim it so that the church, Paul says, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. And it says earlier, to everyone. So one way of summarizing the gospel is by seven C words. I've said these before, taught on them quite a while ago. I want to go through them again this morning. It starts at creation. Again, we sang it at the beginning of that last song. You were there. It's His word. He speaks it. This one is challenged. Lots in our society. Is this what's holding people back? But it's essential. God created. It's also essential to be real that it's been corrupted. Incredibly corrupted. And that disobedience to God always brings consequences. For the wages of sin is death. And He's not joking. Yes, physical death. Yes, spiritual death. Yes, death in all sorts of ways. And if we don't deal with sin, and the problem of our sinfulness, and it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's never been the gospel of feel good about yourself, believe in yourself, think these right thoughts. It's not about that. It's about the power of the living God indwelling people, and we need Him. We only open our lives up to Him when we understand the depth and depravity of ourselves, the depth of our sin and sinfulness. Our whole propensity, whole nature is to go against Him. And unless He gives us a new nature and helps us turn around, we don't do it on our own. We'll just substitute one negative thing for a different one. Might even look better, but it will not be freedom in Christ, and it's not the gospel. It's been corrupted, and that impacts every single person on the planet. But praise be to God, He's a covenant God. It's not a contract. You live up to your part, I'll live up to mine. He's faithful no matter what. Demonstrated hundreds, thousands of times throughout Scripture. He is faithful when we're faithful. He's faithful when we're not faithful. He is a God of covenant. And He's going to live up to His part no matter what. Praise God. And it all leads to a point in history we celebrate as Christmas. Incarnation. The mystery of Christmas. God, Almighty God, becoming human in flesh. See, the religions try and get us to climb, earn something, our way up to God. Christianity alone says nobody can do that. Nobody. Not a single person. We can compare ourselves to each other and go, whoo, I'm way higher, or I'm way lower, and it doesn't matter. None of us can climb on a ladder to the moon, and nor can we make our way to God. He covered that. The incarnation is incredible. What a beautiful story. Thus, we celebrate it every year. Annually, at least. It's key. It's key to who we are as a church. Followers of Jesus. And He covered that. He brought Christmas. Christ among us. God with us. And He lived a perfect and sinless life. And He went to the cross. He's the only acceptable sacrifice for our sin. We celebrate that at Easter, at Good Friday. The only one. Jesus is the only way. I know that's exclusive, and that's just the way it is. That's the truth. He comes as a suffering servant, demonstrating this love unsearchable. No one else does that. A perfect man dying for rebellious people. And He conquers sin and death. He rises from the grave. Victorious. Amen? We don't serve a dead God, an image, something crafted by people. This is key. The resurrection is central. That's who He is. He conquers. He's the conquering King. And He's coming again. There's the gospel in seven seas. It doesn't matter if you use those words, but those concepts are important. It unfolds. It's a story that matters. And it's a story that we need to proclaim for everyone who's taken hold of it. There's other ways of explaining this gospel, this mystery, this love unsearchable. There's a Dare to Share website. Summarizes it this way. Spells the word gospel. God created us to be with Him. He had good intentions, and He created us. Our sin separates us from God. Sin cannot be removed by good deeds or anything else. Like I said, we can't earn our way to God. Paying the price for sin, Jesus died and rose again. He's the only one that could do that. He's the only one that lived a sinless life. Everyone who trusts in Jesus alone has life. And I emphasize the alone part. Beverly and I were with Venture Teams International. We sent several teams to India. India is a place of many gods, all sorts of them. And lots of people there will absolutely all accept Jesus, and they'll add them to the 1,500 other gods, and there's people in our culture that do that as well. Sure, I'll take Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. Who does? I want to go to heaven. Who doesn't? But unless we're trusting in Jesus alone, that there's an adjustment that we make. We turn from our own way and we move towards God. We say, you are the Lord and Master. I'll follow you. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. But it needs to start. It needs to be a different direction, a new person walking this. That's key. We don't just add them. Oh, thanks. Whenever I get into a thing I can't handle on my own, I'll ask you. But the rest of life, I've got it. No, all of life, he leads us. We're called to make disciples of all people, not converts. And that isn't even a convert if they're not really trusting Jesus alone. I mean, there's the wordless book. Many of you have taught this or done bracelets with this. Goes through the colors. Can think through the colors. Gold, God, he's good, he's perfect, he creates. Sin is the distortion. It's corrupt, it's what separates us. Only Christ's blood, the atoning sacrifice of Christ, is the only way to have right relationship. Be made, our sins that were like scarlet have been made white like snow, removed from us. And then we learn to live, grow in him. And this is a journey to go on. It's not just a, oh, good, prayed the prayer, I'm good to go. Got my insurance paid up. I can go live however I want now. No, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a journey to go on towards God, towards people, and experiencing what we were created for. We need to find a way where we keep this in our minds. This is central to who we are. I mean, there's the bridge illustration on the next slide. Several ways, different ways. Make sure it's got the key parts there. Again, people will distort these ways of explaining it. I've drawn this on a napkin in a restaurant while we're meeting with someone. You know, really sad thing about, I've never, to my knowledge, been there when somebody's received Christ, been the one to explain the gospel to them, and they go, that's clear. Wow, can you pray with me right now? Not because I haven't shared it. Maybe God protected me from a big head or something else, but I generally introduce these people. I'll share the gospel with them, and I introduce them to other believers, and they have the privilege of leading them to God, to this clear understanding. So I don't bemoan that, but I got to ask myself, am I actually being faithful in proclaiming this mystery, this unsearchable love of God? Or am I just content, oh, no, got it, thanks, I got it for myself. And we're not being the church, we're not the body of Christ, and we're not followers of his. Because this was his top mandate. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. When I do the bridge, I like explaining through Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then it's important to hear who we're talking to. At what point do they get caught up? Do they not really understand that God is good? There's something about his character. They not really understand that Jesus came for them personally. They not understand what a wages of sin is, that we've all earned death. What wages are? Do they not realize this is a gift? I just need to receive it. You can't earn it. What point do they get caught up on? What's hindering them? So listening is a key part of proclaiming the gospel, because we can do a lot of talking, but it may not be hitting where they're at. But I think a bigger piece of this is, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Or are we getting distracted from what God has called us to do. And He's calling us here this morning back to the gospel and to be proclaimers of the gospel. He calls Paul specifically to a group of people, but He says right here in this passage, this is so that through the church, the manifold witness of God would be made known. I like a summary of religion versus the Christian faith on Manifest website. That's one of our churches in Calgary. Religion is we initiate and God responds. Christian faith is God is initiated and we respond to Him. Religion, we achieve to receive. So as long as I can do this, then I'll receive something. Christian faith is God has already achieved and we receive the gift. We're heirs, joint heirs with Jesus. We enter through the narrow gate. But Jesus is clear, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. He says there's going to be a lot of people that don't choose me. But we don't know who they are. We are called to proclaim to everyone. And it's His desire that all would turn towards Him. But He recognizes there's going to be a lot who just say, no way, I'm going my own way. For whatever reason. But again, we don't know who that is, so we don't give up on anybody. We pray, we minister, we proclaim the gospel. Does not confront sin. I said this earlier, is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We gotta confront that piece of it, both the truth about who God is and the truth about ourselves. And we've got to do it in specific ways. Repent and believe. And there's two aspects to both of those. Repent is to confess and reject. And believing is embrace and obey. Not just one or the other of either of those. We confess the truth about who God is, who we are, our need, and we say, God, You come into my life. You transform me. I confess my sin. Here's the ways I've specifically rebelled against You, and I need You as my Savior. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. It's specific. For me. And we reject. God, I don't want to go my own way anymore. I choose to turn towards You, but I can't do this on my own. I embrace what You have done for me. I'm choosing to believe now that I am Your son or daughter, and to walk in faith and to obey You because You are the hope of the nations. You are my living hope. If you look in your bulletins, you'll find a pink insert that I also stole from the Manifest website. Pardon? What did I say? Oh, I don't know. I'm a little delirious here this morning too. I knew it was yellow. I just said pink. I thought I said yellow. This is Brad Hubert put this together. He's with Manifest Church in Calgary. It's from their Disciples Guide on page 31. This is another way of looking at the gospel that starts with where a person is. The fruit of faulty convictions down the left-hand side. You read through some of those, and boy, are they ever common in our society. Because again, we're asking the world to produce, or relationships with people to produce something in our lives that they were never created to produce. And it results in something. Look at even the middle one. A drivenness, aggression, anger, frustration, fear of failure. Quite a list there, right? Pressure to succeed. If we have a religion, we're trying to earn our way to God, or we're trying to make life work of our in and of ourselves, that's what's going to come out. That's the fruit of going our own way. faulty convictions. And it means, in the second column there, means we're trying to, you know, achieve our own goodness in the first one, earn forgiveness and love. Number three there, set ourselves free and succeed through force or our own power and persistence. Seeking to find our identity and fulfillment in others, pleasure, busyness, instead of Christ within us. And squeeze eternal glory out of this finite life. Right? We're trying to get eternal glory out of a limited life. But what Christ has done in our place, right? So when you're in a conversation with someone and one of those comes up, there's a faulty conviction under there. Explore that. How's that working out for you? What's it leading to in your life? You know, and we can share some of our stories. Here's how I've struggled with fear of failing in front of people. Right? I've said before, I couldn't do a speech in grade 12 because I had such a fear of people. What? How might that be received or not received? And I was just inhibited. Now you see me, I can't shut me up. Because Christ has done so much for us. That third column, what Christ did for us in our place. He corrects all that faulty garbage that we're trusting in. Christ lived the perfect life we could never live and gives us the credit for it. He accounts it to us. We are fellow heirs. Christ loved us so much that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. So Psalm 32 says he forgives even the guilt of our sin. But some of us continue to live in guilt because we're still living to the old man, as Scripture calls it, rather than the new person in Christ. Christ rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and shares his victory with us. What's holding us? What do we need victory over? It's not going to be by trying harder. We don't preach a try harder message. We preach Jesus. We preach Christ crucified and risen and coming again. Christ sent his Spirit to live within us and empower us. And in him alone can we have victory and move forward. Christ went to heaven to prepare an eternal home for us in glory and will return to restore all things and reign forever, rule supreme forever. And then we get the fruit of trusting Christ. Another way of having a conversation, right? Hear where people are at and go sharing our testimony and what Christ has done for us. Here's how he's diminished the fear of people in my life. Here's how he's given me victory over. But again, if we're not growing, we have no current testimony to tell, do we? This needs to be current. We're growing to be the church. And there's things that we need to repent of and believe in on a daily basis. Because none of us is completely free of sin, right? That process of repent, confessing, and rejecting. Here's how I sin today, God. I don't want to go in that. I've been trusting, right? Some of these, we can go down the left side too and go, wow, I've been trusting in my own efforts. And we confess it. We surrender it. Something like this. Lord, I confess that I've been trusting in my own ability instead of your resurrection power and victory. This kind of thinking belongs to my old self. It has been causing pressure, stress, sleeplessness, and less healthy relationships. Will you forgive me? And then we reject it. Right? Confession is agreeing with God, speaking the truth. Here's who you are. You've already accomplished this. Why am I trying to accomplish it? I confess that I've been trying to accomplish it on my own. We agree with him. Then we reject it. I don't want to trust myself anymore and this unhealthy path. I want to trust you. Express an earnest desire for change. That's rejecting, repenting, turning from it. And then we embrace. Thank you for conquering sin and death and purchasing my victory and freedom. I don't have to produce my own success alone. I receive, embrace, your resurrection power. Believe. Take God at his word. Believe him and act on it. And obey. I trust you and agree to partner with you through following where you lead. If we've said he knows the way and then don't follow him, that's an oxymoron and it doesn't fit together. I will choose to rest rather than be distracted and occupied all the time. Some of us are very full of stress and striving. Obedience is key. We move towards God. And he abides within us. And we grow, and then there is fruit. Right? If that sounds like a prayer to receive Jesus, that confess, reject, embrace, obey, you're right, it is. And it's one that we need to continually, right? When we first receive Jesus, we've been heading our own way. We recognize who Jesus is, what he has done, and we reject. We confess this is where we're going, this is what we're trusting in, and we reject it. We go on, I don't want to go that way anymore. We turn around and we embrace, and we commit to obeying, being a disciple, a follower, going in that direction. And we need to do this more than just when we receive Jesus. Like I said, it's daily, right? This is the life of discipleship. Yuck! I keep slipping back into trusting my own whatever, one of these core convictions and believing a false lie. And other people are caught in lies as well. Do we have the compassion of God? That the God, the gospel must be made known and that we are held responsible for this. Do we know that? Is this key? I mean, we can discuss lots of things. Often we're so concerned about the right answer. Here's how the future's going to play out when Jesus comes back. And we're so concerned about having the right answers in different areas, we forget this is the key. This is central to who we are, making the gospel known, making disciples of all nations. Not just having the right answers in these other little, because they're secondary, arguments and debates and whatever else. Is it helping us love God and move towards people in such a loving way that we'll overcome our fears and share the gospel, the good news with people? I pray so. In fact, I'm going to ask us to commit this morning. There's a responsive reading that's going to come up on the screen. And I want us to read through this, but take it seriously. This is serious stuff. This is serious to God, and it needs to be serious to his church. I'll read the part that's not bolded. If you'll read the bolded part, read it out boldly. We are followers of Jesus, commanded and commissioned by him. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that all people might see it and praise your Father in heaven. God, we love you and live for you. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves, sharing the good news with boldness, showing the good news with deeds of limitless love. We are not ashamed of this good news. It is the power for salvation to everyone who believes. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, go and summon all nations to follow him, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that he commanded. Let the nations praise you, O God. Let all the nations praise you. Spirit of God, fill us with your power to be your witnesses. We offer ourselves to the Lord of the harvest as ambassadors of Christ. Purify us and use us to proclaim his salvation. We commit ourselves to spread the good news of peace with God to those who are near and to those who are far off. The final screen is for us all. Strengthen us as we work and enjoy as we look forward to the day of harvest, when the redeemed will gather in God's presence to celebrate forever the boundless riches of the Jesus Christ our Lord. This is for all ages. People dismiss themselves because they're too young, or too young of a believer, or too old a believer, been there, done that, whatever else. It's for the whole church. May we be the church this day, this week, this month, that He would be proclaimed, He would be glorified. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I confess, we've been lackadaisical. We've been content to play at church and put on programs and do stuff that fills our time. Some of it really good stuff. But we've also been distracted from what is central to being a follower of yours. Enjoying relationship with you and making you known to others. Proclaiming this gospel. I ask your forgiveness, God. We have not acted like followers of yours, but have followed all sorts of other things. I receive your forgiveness. I receive what you have accomplished for us, through us, even when we've done it imperfectly, you've done good ministry. I know the gospel was shared a week ago at Girls Club. God, I pray that those girls that heard it would still be thinking on pondering on that, about their response to you. You initiated, they need to respond. I know it's shared in different ways here in this service and youth and wherever else. Pray that people would receive your resurrection power. Believe on you alone, Jesus. And then we would turn and together learn how to follow and obey you, walk with you, and enjoy you, one another, and be on mission for you. God, would you bring a couple of people, specific names, neighbors, co-workers, fellow students, to every follower of yours here this morning that we will commit to praying for. We would love them enough to pray regularly. You would give us your love for them so we would engage in conversation and listen well to what's really going on in their hearts and their minds, so that we can share, not just so that we can love them in that way, and we would look for the opportunities or make those opportunities, we would proclaim this gospel, this unsearchable love to them. What piece, what part are they not understanding, are they not surrendering to, that is a hindrance? We need to pray them through and walk them through. Give us a boldness and a courage, God. And would you produce the fruit as we are faithful? I pray in your name. Amen.